providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments that I spent with Jeff Christian over at the CPM Group. In this segment, I am getting a company update from Osisko Metals. Osisko Metals is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OM, and I am chatting with the president and CEO, Jeff Hussey. Jeff, there's been a few news releases that came out just over the last 2 weeks. Something that Osisko Metals has consistently produced is some very nice drill results from two of your major properties. The first one I want to talk about is Pine Point. We saw some headline numbers of almost 15% zinc and lead over 12.74 meters. And one important aspect is that consistently, all of the results that you have been seeing from Pine Point are all pretty much at surface, all within 30 meters of surface. Can you break down what these recent drill results mean?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yes, at the end of January, we announced another intersection and some other four holes from the East Mill Zone. So just to be clear, the East Mill Zone is between 30, maybe down as far as 50 meters. It's our shallowest zone at Pine Point. Other areas like the Central Zone and North Zone go down to about 100 meters. So just for clarity. But the East Mill Zone is the best near-surface mineralization. 15% over 12 meters is high grade for that thickness. And so that was a great result to publish. We're still getting results from the drilling at the end of last year, the results coming in from the labs, and we're processing those and continuing to release them. We put out the resource, I think we discussed this last time, 38.4 million tons at about 6.6 zinc equivalent. And what we did is we incorporated, because we had to do a cutoff date back in September. The resource does include 20,000 meters of drilling, but we have an additional 40,000 meters to include into the next resource we do. This will help convert a large portion, the 60,000 meters in total, will help convert a large portion of that 38.4 million tons up into the indicated category when we use our surveying data, et cetera. So that's coming later this year. But what it does give us, the resource that we put out, the inferred resource, is 5.5 billion pounds of zinc and lead. You know, prior to this, it was historical resources. It wasn't 43-101 compliant. So therefore, in the market, it has no value. So we said we would get a resource out. We did in December. We've now converted the historical resources into what we call a pit constrained, because we use a Whittle pit. It's a mining software to figure out what is able to be mined open in an open pit. So we got a high-grade, large tonnage resource that's throughout the property of near-surface mineralization. And it's important to point out why this is different, why it's unique amongst our peers. 90% of mine production for zinc is underground. Yet some of the most profitable mines in the world, some of the biggest zinc mines, are the most profitable. So when you have near-surface zinc, it seems to be, as Cominco was known to be, a very profitable mining site. So that's what the resource tells us. And then when we put it into context, it's also worth noting why we're there. Most, like, we have low-cost hydroelectric power. The railhead's over at Hay River, about 60 kilometers away. So it allows us to rapidly advance the project. We don't have big infrastructure capital expenditures to incur, nor do we have to build them.
Well, and that's a key factor too. Infrastructure always important, especially when you're talking about these type of resources. You said that 5.5 billion pounds of lead and zinc, so crucial to have infrastructure close by. There's also a figure within that news release that focused on that East Mill Zone, and it outlined all of these modeled pits from that 2018 resource. A quick question, what do you think about the potential, or is there a potential or even benefit to tying together some of these smaller pits with some of the larger pits, or does this not even really matter because everything is so close to surface?
I'd say your last comment is closer to the truth. These are shallow pits. An example in the East Mill Zone, there may be 10 of them that are within, what it'll look like will be a long trench. So you'll go down, you'll get that mineralization throughout that deposit, the a couple of hundred meters wide, a couple of hundred meters long, and then there may be an area where at that elevation, there isn't any mineralization or anything economic. So we would just ramp out of that pit and ramp back down. So it'll look like a big trench at the end, interconnecting pits, if you will. But at this point, we are identifying each of those deposits as a singular pit, but some of them will connect. It will not be the big circular or elliptical pits that go down at depth and you have to move a lot of dirt. Here, the ratio, the strip ratio that we put in the resource was about 7.7, but we left one deposit in that was actually, it should be mined underground, and it generated an enormous amount of waste. When you look at taking that deposit out and mine it conventionally as underground, the strip ratio comes down to about 5.3, which is much more reasonable, and that's what we'll be dealing with at the Pine Point site.
Okay, and then just remember, too, that as you outlined in that news release, that Osisko Meadows is the only junior in the Americas with a pit-constrained inferred resource of 5.5 billion pounds. But you also have this other project, Keanacon, where you have released recent news just this week. The headline numbers, just over 12.5% zinc and lead, over 20 meters. This project doesn't have a resource around it yet. You do have one coming up, don't you?
Yeah, so just to clarify, there is a historical estimate of the main zone that is on file at the government in New Brunswick. It was basically what was known. Back in the 50s and 60s, they actually dropped a 460-meter shaft. They had 8 sublevels. They put in a ventilation raise, and they drilled off that main zone quite tightly, and that's what was left on the shelf. There was essentially no work done for 60 years. Naranda, the company I used to work for, had a couple of JVs. They did a number of holes, but the exploration was kind of sporadic. There was Rio Algum and Naranda, and no one really found enough and did not update that resource estimate. So we went in and we started drilling around these intersections, and we're seeing sizable deposits of mineralization. So that's what we've been drilling off. We drilled about 22,000 meters in the Bathurst, at Keanacon, 40,000 in the camp, but 22 just at Keanacon. And so we just came out with that intersection. Yeah, so this was, in order to do the resource, we have to go back into where there is mineralization and duplicate an area. And this was one of the ones that needed duplication, so we're just reporting that in preparation. We hope to get the mineral resource estimate out here in Q1 and as soon as possible, but we're working on it right now to get that out.
Now, there's also another aspect of that intersection that has a silver component, and quite a high-grade silver component, 185 grams per ton, again, over that 20 meters. Now, it wasn't consistent across the board, those type of silver results, but there was another hole, 28, that had 132 grams per ton. What's the importance of this silver component?
Well, locally, it's very high-grade. I'd say, well, we'll see when we get the resource out, when it's all averaged out. But you usually get a couple ounces of silver in the ore in the Bathurst camp, depending on which deposit. There's potential here to get a little bit higher, but locally you do get some very high grades. At the same token, what you're trying to see is that the zinc and the lead combined, we always quote it as zinc plus lead for simplicity, that it'd be north of 10%. And you want mineable widths. While here you got 12.6%. And you got 20 meters. So that's the heart of the zone that you want, where you can get substantial tons per blast.
Jeff, I also had a question come in that was asking from a more precious metals investor who is looking at this sector. Is there any way to convert, or can you give us any idea of what approximately 12 or 13% lead and zinc equals in terms of a precious metals component?
Yeah, I can give an estimate. It's a different type of calculation because of how much of the material recovered is payable by a smelter. So we took a look at that on a couple of different intersections, and when you use a long-term price with recoveries that vary per zinc, lead, copper, and silver. And then you use the payables that you'll get from a smelter, add those up. You know, it's about $245 rock at this for this headline intersection that we announced on February 7th. And that would convert roughly into about 7 grams per ton. So that's, again, if you look at that, it's an interesting grade. But in this case, where it's 20 meters wide, it's even more so.
Absolutely. Yep. Some high grade results. And again, just remember that that resource is due out of Kianacon shortly, as you said, in Q1 of this year. What other work is going to be going on as that resource is getting ready that we can look forward to and expect as investors?
Well, we're quite happy to have been able to, within 2 years, get positioned in two of Canada's premier zinc mining camps and put out resources in both within that 2 year period, roughly. We started at Kianacon actually just after spring breakup last year, and we're putting out a resource. Same as we started a little early at Pine Point, and we've come out with a resource. So we wanted to quickly do that to create value by converting historical resources that typically carry no value into NI 43-101 inferred. The one at Pine Point, as I mentioned, coming up, we're going to work towards getting an indicated resource base that will roll into economic studies. We're still figuring out how we want to approach that, but it's looking good. We have, a large part of that will be converted once we add the surveying data in, which is necessary to lock it in space, and all of the infill drilling will then be able to be used to bring it up from the inferred into the indicated. So we look forward to that at Pine Point. We will be getting that resource out before year end. At Kianacon, we need to go back in and drill. There will be some that will convert into resources, but when we look at the length that we have drilled at Kianacon, there's some of it will convert into resource, but some will be quote unquote exploration potential or exploration targeting. And that's what I'm looking forward to as well. There is a lot of sulfides, but it's sparsely drilled. So for Kianacon, there's more work to do to drill that off to get to that next step of a resource, and we look forward to doing that. In parallel, to these two mining camps, we're also generating Blue Sky in Quebec with our Quebec GenX program. And we raised a substantial amount of flow-through in the last quarter of last year. And we're in the process of being quite active by doing some airborne surveys and preparing a program for boots on the ground this summer. We do have a drill turning on that as we speak. We are also drilling in our joint venture with Osisko Mining in the eastern part of the Abitibi Greenstone Belt. So we are quite active in Quebec as well. But our main headlines have been generated by Pine Point and Kianacon. So investors can look forward to a quite active company that has multiple assets in the zinc space. Now, in the zinc space, we all know that inventories are at critical levels at 10 days consumption, and we're less than 6 days right now. Before Christmas, we were less than five or just around five. So the backdrop of the zinc metal market is very tight. There's uncertainty that has been created by the U.S.-China trade war. I think that in the first quarter or shortly after, there should be less uncertainty with a deal hopefully being struck at the beginning. And a lot of the people that are discussing the base metal space are waiting for just that. So we've seen since the beginning of the year that zinc has been the best performer on the LME alone. What we see is that once that negotiation is complete, I think that's when we may hear about global infrastructure projects, perhaps some stimulus in China. The United States have also talked about infrastructure projects recently and how they would like to increase. And any uptick in the demand for steel and galvanized steel from these global infrastructure projects in the context of a zinc market being at half its critical levels, I think we'll see a significant swing in the zinc price to the positive, which will typically benefit our stock and our value. And we look forward to that, combined with a lot of work to be done this year.
Yeah, all right. Well, you guys continue to be very active. And if there is that bump in zinc, like you mentioned, then I really do think Osisko Metals is positioned very nicely because of how advanced these projects are and how big these resources already are at some very nice grades. Jeff, I appreciate you taking some time this weekend and updating all of our listeners on what Osisko Metals is up to and what they all can expect. Thanks again for your time, Jeff. Have a great rest of your weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you.